everybody. This is Adam Seward, and it's 3 o'clock on Monday, and that means you're listening to Awakened Life right here at Transformation Talk Radio. And again, we've got a great show for you, a very power-packed show, and we're really glad that you are here with us. Let me give you a little rundown of what we're going to be talking about today. Yesterday at the One event, we did a broadcast, Awakened Life did a broadcast about what it means to move from fear to love. And some of you, if you were at the event and you had an experience you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you sometime during the show today. But we had a conversation about what it means to move from fear to love and what the Course in Miracles actually has to say about moving from fear to love and also from imprisonment to spiritual freedom. So that's going to be the focus of the show today, and we're going to spend the majority of the time talking about that. And, of course, I'm joined here in the studio, as usual, by my sidekick, my father, Rick. Good to have you here.
Hi, Adam. It's great to be here. Love the chance to come in and spend my Monday afternoon with you.
Well, you know, we took last week off. Some of you may have noticed it was a repeat for Labor Day. It's fun to be back.
It is. I feel a little refreshed.
Yeah. Yep. And Eric's out of town, but Mike is here, and so he's going to be pushing the buttons for us and helping us out, and we're glad to have him here with us as well.
Yes.
So there's someone that I'd love to introduce to you. This is actually a very close friend of mine, and someone that I when I was thinking today about how I was going to introduce him, the two words came to mind. Awakened Master. So
wow. Don't get your expectations up.
He is a. I noticed when I spend time with this good friend, there's a lot of quiet time between us because there's this resonance and this deep understanding of that silent truth. And part of what it means to be an awakened master in the sense that I hold him. Is that he doesn't really think too much of himself. So, Paul DeFuria, thank you for being here. We're so honored that you could join us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Paul is gonna. We're all gonna talk really about this concept and this movement that is taking place on the planet, but it's also happening within each of us as individuals. And yesterday, that was the real. The meat, you could say, of what the message that came to me was regarding the shift that we're making from love to fear. It really is about, or from fear to love. It really is about something that's happening collectively, but that is showing up on an individual basis. So each of us in our own lives are moving from fear to love in our own ways. And the way that that's showing up on an individual basis is reflected in how that's showing up in a collective, which was really the intention behind the event yesterday, and it was a global intention of coming together to collectively shift that vision, but an expression of something that's happening within individuals. So. That's the topic for today. That's what we're going to get into. Part of where I'd like to start, Paul, is just, I mean, how was it for you? We talked yesterday, too. How was that for you, talking
about
this topic?
Well, I always love talking about freedom. That's really the only topic that really fascinates me. I'm always trying to change the topic to get to freedom.
Yes.
We're not talking about
love and, well, you know, love and freedom are...
Same. but different. Different flavor, but same.
I noticed today, you know, when I was looking at moving from fear to love, that we're also talking about moving from imprisonment to freedom. So
absolutely,
that, it seems like that's the language for you that really resonates. That's really, really been your experience. And I should also say that you know, in terms of feminine and masculine, you know, the masculine journey often is a journey toward freedom. The masculine journey toward enlightenment. That is.
That's right. Yeah. The Greeks talked about that as eros. which is right. They look to the heavens, right, to free themselves.
Yes.
So most of the masculine pulse is really is brought alive by that move. But then, of course, there's the grounding into the moment through the feminine. There's a, and the balance is really the whole art. But the key is if it's held in the space of freedom, then you can be creative, you can be alive, you can be, you know, just totally expressive, mm-hmm. fully self-expressed. I mean, that's the whole game. And the flip side is if you become identified to some identity or something, mm-hmm. then you get caught up in your own prison. And this happens from moment to moment. So the call always is to follow the heart and to full opening or awakening. Mm-hmm. So we can talk, you know, it's important to like clarify your terms.
Yes.
We're both lawyers, so
yes.
it's important we get. Yeah, that's right.
Careful.
Well, we're trained to be wordsmiths, right?
Sure.
So it's important to learn, you know, so we have an agreement about what these words mean, because they mean some things to different people. For me, freedom and love, it's the same.
Sure.
Because it's the experience of just this full awake opening of, you know, it's blissful.
Yes.
Right. So who doesn't like that? The Dalai Lama says every time he speaks, he says, you know, everybody wants to be happy. Basically, wants to be free.
Yeah. Yeah. Each of us, it feels like, as part of this awakening process, are being further released from our imprisonments. And you know, we talk quite a bit about the things that imprison us. And today, you know, we're talking about fear. And what I see happening within myself and within those around me is that each one of us, it feels like, are making that shift in subtle, little, big ways, but also just little, sort of practical ways. How do you, Dad, Dad, I want to check in with you. I mean, how do you notice that transition happening within you?
Well, I'm more of a simple, basic guy. I'm learning, well, through the gratitude practice was a great experience that helped me overcome fear in many different ways. But fear still, it's as simple as hitting a chip shot.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of mishitting the shot can destroy the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But when I can find some peace...
Mm-hmm.
I can execute those shots, and I mean that's an analogy. It's a metaphor for life, and if we can just find a way to find peace, we can actually overcome it.
Hmm. Yeah,
and that's really the important piece. There is to push yourself toward the place that scares you, right? So it's to push your edge.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then you know, if you fully throw yourself into it, when you're actually in the fear, embodying the fear, there isn't any anymore, right? And then that's just pure energy you're channeling, and then just wherever it goes, it goes. So the key is to not identify as a separate, have any kind of separate identification,
mm-hmm.
and you know the other key is to just know that it's possible.
Yeah, and of course, the Course in Miracles talks about the ego, and we talk about the guard, right? I mean, this aspect of ourselves that believes in separation.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Pema Chodron and Chogyam Trungpa, who was her teacher, defines the ego as the illusion of separateness.
Right.
So in other words, we're not separate. You know, inherently we're one, which is experienced through meditation and through awakening. But there's this aspect of us, this fearful aspect of us that has this tendency to protect, to defend, and to really pledge allegiance in many ways to fear.
Yeah, well, the ego has two gatekeepers, which are basically the protector and the controller.
Mm.
And these guards are the ones that are trying to... They have served a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And when you had our friend Isaiah on the show a while back, he was trying to point out how the ego gets a bad rap, and we kind of want to rehabilitate it. It actually has a purpose. The controller and protector have a job to do. But this whole process is by agreement. So if you can just ask for permission, right, You can get past the controller and the protector. And that's true just, you know, within all of us and with ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're guarding me and trying to protect me,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I can ask you to stop that if it's not serving, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing for myself. I can say, I can feel my guard come up.
Mm-hmm.
And the contract we have with our guard is it steps aside when we ask it to, so that our deepest self can come through.
Yes. I've noticed lately, too, that a commitment has arisen within me, you know, for myself and also with those around me, not to protect so much from the things that you fear, but to protect myself, to protect you from fear itself. Because it feels like...
But that's the good stuff. The fear is actually you know, your life force coming to claim you.
Sure, so protection in that sense might be just opening to it
rather than...
And not opening to it in the sense of believing it, but opening to it in the sense of letting your light, the light of your consciousness, to dissolve it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And, you know, we notice when we try to protect others from harm, you know, just how spectacularly unprepared we are to do that very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just bad at it.
Right.
So better just to let that let that go. You know, that's not going to work.
Right, right. Well, we're off to a good start.
Hey, why not?
Right?
Let's get into it.
Say, yeah.
Let's go as deep as you want. I mean, we're just getting started.
All right. Well, that's right. We are just getting started. We're going to go to our first break. You're listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Come back as we continue this discussion. Moving from fear to love.
That's not enough. This blessed sip of life, is it not enough? Staring down at the ground, or then complain and pray for more from above, you greedy little thing. Stop, just watch your world tickle away. Oh, it's your problem now. It'll all be dead and gone in a few short years.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is Adam Stewart again. You're listening to Awaken Life here on Transformation Talk Radio. Today we're talking about moving from fear to love. We're talking about moving from imprisonment to freedom. And we're talking about what it means to really embody love in the world, to not let ego necessarily be the driving force of our lives. We're talking about what the Course in Miracles has to say. And I just had this little inspiration to encourage you out there, just as we move into the next segment, just to put your hand on your heart and just to take all of your attention and move it into that space, that heart space, that energetic space, and start to breathe into that a bit. Just connect to that, breathe into it, and just intend for the next 45 minutes just to live, to breathe, and to be from this place. So this is what it means to practice, I think, moving from fear to love.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, because you can live from that place.
Mm.
You know, you can live from the heart. You can speak from the heart. You can show up from the heart. And it's interesting because, you know, yesterday Paul and I, we were broadcasting for One the Event, and we were talking about that event 10 years ago when the planes crashed into the World Trade Center, the two towers. And we did an exercise of actually putting our hands on our hearts and imagining seeing that and what it would look like through the lens of the heart. And... you know, you can try that. I mean, it's things kind of take on a different form, wouldn't you say, when you look through that open heart channel?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, it does.
There's a beautiful article in the paper about a guy who was a big hero in that, and he saved thousands of lives, and he was a security guard in one of the towers. And I think it was Morgan Stanley. I'll get the details wrong, but it was thousands of lives that he saved. But he was very rigorous about the evacuation procedures. He made everybody do it twice a month, and just everyone was giving him a bad time, but he made sure everyone did it. And then that day, he was prepared, and they were prepared, and they all got out safely, right? But he went back into the building and died. But when he called his wife, he said, you know, I might not make it out of here, but don't, you know, this is the happiest day of my life, basically. He said, I've never been happier. I think that was the quote.
Wow.
Which is amazing, because he knew what was happening. But yet, he was moving so into fear, so fully into service, essentially. He was sacrificing himself. But that, even that word, sacrifice, it has the root word sacred.
Mm-hmm.
It's about giving your life fully. And in that, no, that's where the freedom comes, right? And so, you know, you can also do this in your daily practice, because it's your ego that you're dying to.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you get, you know, you essentially die to yourself, mm-hmm. but it's the false self. Mm-hmm. Like the Buddhists actually call the, you know, the true self, just that, true self. What a great phrase! It's so clear, right? But that's the one that's, you know, that's when you're talking about who's actually giving from their deepest heart. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to get your terms clear, like we talked before. Which self is it that we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So when you die to the false stuff, so what you're offering in that point is what's real, what's true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that resonates for everybody and becomes alive. So what happens when you free yourself by stepping into your own fears, and you're liberating everybody around you. So that's the gift, and it gets very contagious. Mm-hmm. It becomes a love spiral up instead of a death spiral down, right? Where everyone's caught up in, because the fear is actually just in the mind. And it's a story we're telling. We're overlaying reality with some story of something's going to end or something's going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
In the future, usually.
That's yeah. right. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, the one phrase that comes up a lot lately, for within this realm of awakening is that in order to really fully awaken, you have to be willing to die.
Right.
Mm. Yes. In order to be fully free from fear,
yeah.
you have to be willing to die.
Yeah.
Now, of course, what is death?
Right. Well, when you, actually move into that experience, then you, what you become aware of is what doesn't die. Right? So that's the thing. You die, I've actually died before, almost. I've had near-death experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Been in a coma and all that stuff. But it wasn't actually consciously. Right? I just fell down. Right? And
yeah.
But when you do it from a conscious place, then it's a totally different experience. Because you give yourself, you say, that's it. If this is what it takes to awake, I'll just die, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of these great teachers I had, he used to say, if you want awakening more than your next breath, you got it, right? Because, you know, the death is the big lie.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end. There's no end. So right. You have to, sometimes you got to push yourself all the way to the end to figure out, oh, getting back at the beginning. Great, right. Let's get started.
Well, and there's no time either. And that's the, you know, I mean, of course, relatively there is, and we use it, and it's effective. But really, it's just a parenthesis
yeah.
in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's good to make appointments.
And to keep them, right?
That's the only real use of it.
Right. You know, we showed up on time today. It's a good thing, or else it wouldn't be we wouldn't be doing it.
That's
but,
right.
But, you know, what is the present moment? Well, in a sense, we're in eternity right now.
That's right. Yeah. And what's the experience of the eternal moment?
Love.
Yeah. I was going to say freedom, but, you know.
Well, I like that we're representing both sides.
Well, you know, you did a Embracing Silence at Bellevue Unity years ago.
Yes.
Do you remember me coming to this?
Absolutely.
I
remember you coming to the Seattle Unity.
Right, that's right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's a small room.
Yeah.
And behind you were speaking, and I looked up at the wall, and it had a quote from Luke, which is, be still and know that I am God, right? Luke is the mystical text, and that's kind of the one that everybody quotes, right? That's from, so I started looking at it, and I was looking at the words, right?
Yeah.
And I just started to break it down. So it was be,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, well, what does that mean? Being, presence, the eternal moment, mm-hmm. still. You know, Eckhart Tolle wrote the book, Stillness Speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing, you know, our own intuition.
Yeah.
That, well, capital T, that is, you know, what the traditions call the great perfection,
mm-hmm.
right? It's all that is, right?
It, yep. yeah.
It,
the
right?
big it.
I am,
yeah.
right? Well,
yeah.
In the non-dual tradition, I amness is actually the simple feeling of being. That's how they describe the moment when you go from witness awakening and drop the witness.
Yeah.
And then you're just so lost. You're so in the moment that it's a non-dual experience. There's no in or out. Well, that is just this moment, feeling the texture of the experience of it.
Yes.
What's the last one?
I am God.
Oh, how about that one?
Yeah.
So, you know, another way of putting that is it's just saying God, 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 God. Freedom, 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 freedom.
Right,
I mean, there isn't a language for when you're talking about, you know, this topic. We haven't really developed a way to describe it. We're just trying to, we're using out some kind of, like, inexact language because we haven't invented one yet.
It's emerging, though, don't you think?
That's right. And but once you get to it, you know, this, these words all sort of pointing to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like in Zen, they talk about the finger pointing at the moon.
Right.
They're pointing out instructions because words are just signifiers, but they're not signifying the experience. They're just, right?
Right.
So, but, you know, they say, don't confuse the finger with the moon. And in the same way, we can talk all about I am-ness or talk about freedom till the cows come home. But that's different than actually breathing it in, feeling it, living it, really giving your life to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the that's the call for the good bodhisattva like yourself.
Mm-hmm. And really? You, let me tip my hat to you as well. You're doing amazing things. And many that don't know this, but Paul is actually a mediator, and he does what's called awakened mediation, you know, whether through, you know, help people with bankruptcy and that sort of thing. And so a bodhisattva in action.
Yes.
In fact, Paul, why don't you share with the listeners about what you do a little bit, just to give them a little background.
Well, there's a new law called the Foreclosure Fairness Act, and it was passed to help distressed homeowners. So it gets to sit down, face-to-face meeting with the bank so to work out maybe a loan modification or some other arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And so we trained to become mediators, and I'm doing my very first one tomorrow. So they're just starting.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a neat program the state of Washington has passed to help people. It's good for the banks, too, so everybody gets a chance to work things out. And you know, I when I started practice, you know, my litigation skills weren't so great because I didn't have that cutthroat sort of mentality, right? And my mentors were all unbelievably aggressive type people, and they loved it. It was a way of working on all their emotional issues and getting paid a couple $100 an hour. I'm like, this is not for me. So when I reentered it, it was around mediation, which is about coming to resolution through agreement, right? Because freedom is all really bringing everything back into one, right? And coming into resolution and freeing yourself up so you can move on, right?
So would you say that the typical client is one that's suffering through fear and shame? And so there's this process that you take the client through to
Absolutely.
Help them understand.
Well, it gives them a chance to just open it up and start talking about it and work to solution. Once that begins to happen, it's options, alternatives that they didn't even know about come to light. So it's fun because we're able to just get the conversation started.
Yes.
And that's all it really takes.
Yes.
Most people, when you're in conflict, just are really out of communication with that person, right? Because they've taken it personally, and then all of a sudden, right, resentment and hurt feelings, and they're trying to avoid, either dominate or avoid that whole thing. So really, it's like, let's get the energy flowing. And, you know, it happens through conversations, so let's facilitate those.
Well, and it's a conversation that's having place within a field of energy, too, you know, because if you've really awakened and you have found that inexhaustible source of bliss within you, then there's usually a field that emanates from you. And, you know, depending on the day, it could be from 3 to 10 feet maybe. And, you know, and I noticed this, of course, in my counseling practice. It's like when the field is extended, then as soon as someone comes into that field, then the there's a certain conversation that generally takes place. And so it doesn't really matter if you're talking about, you know, a divorce or depression or bankruptcy. I mean, there's a transformation that happens in and through that energy. And that is, you know, I look at people who are in the helping professions and I see bodhisattvas, you know, fulfilling their vow. But I certainly look at attorneys that are awakened or any profession and say, wow, there's another bodhisattva fulfilling his vow.
Well, it's also a lot more fun, right? Because you're the first beneficiary of anything you give away.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're giving away freedom, guess what you get to experience. So this whole thing seems scary to give your life for freedom. But just like the guy from that I was talking about earlier, he gave everything. And he said, I've never been happier. That's just that's how it works.
Well, and there's a lot of people, you know, on that will experience it on death row. You know, prisoners, they'll be on death row, and it's like, oh.
Kamikaze pilots, right? Their job is to go in and, you know, they would land their plane. They'd fly it into a ship or something. In that moment when they go, okay, I'm past the point of no return, here we go. And then they'd survive, some of them, right? And they'd say, well, what was it like? And it's so amazingly blissful. That for the I was like, all this resistance and suffering until I surrendered to it. So really, when people are looking, reading this kind of work, they look for an injunction. They say, what am I going to do? I'm going to put it on the to-do list. And the irony is, it's actually not doing. It's surrendering. You're just stopping all the stuff you're doing. That's because that's all resistance. Just let go. So that's about the highest practice you can do, is just a letting go. Because the energy intelligence of the universe is going to work it all out through you. All you do is just show up. Right?
That's right. That's right.
It gives us a lot less to do, which, guess what? Frees us up. We got a lot extra time.
Right, right. Well, it's about, we're going to go to break again.
Great.
Man, okay. So stay tuned. We're going to continue this discussion. Remember, you're listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. See you in a few minutes.
The Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
At the law offices of Richard D. Seward, we care about our clients. We offer important legal advice and services to help them grow their wealth and protect it. We manage the risks and help the financially distressed through the recovery process. We are committed and dedicated to helping people throughout Western Washington and beyond with our expertise in business, real estate, tax law, and debt relief. Find us at richardseward.com or call us at 360-876-6425. We care about you.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Everybody, welcome back. This is Adam Seward again. You're listening to Awaken Life. So we're talking about the shift from fear to love, from imprisonment to freedom. And I have a quote here from A Course in Miracles about this very process. It says, "Have faith in him who walks with you so that your fearful concept of yourself may change. And look upon the good in him that you may not be frightened by your evil thoughts, because they do not cloud your view of him. And all this shift requires is that you be willing that this happy change occur." So we're not alone in this.
Well, the key is to know it's possible. That's the first thing.
Yes.
Is you talk to folks and they say, that's just living a fully, radically free life. You don't know my job, my mother, my bank account, right? So that's the first piece, is to know the freedom is actually what's real, and it is possible. The next piece is to be willing, right? We've talked about that before. It's the willingness. That's another way of saying just being open to it and allow it, rather than have some, you have your ego try to do that job, which, it, again, is spectacularly unequipped to do.
That the shift that you're talking about, again, like this movement really does only require willingness. I mean, some people are like, I'll see people in my practice a lot that are they just, you know, they'll sit down and I'll say, you know, something along the lines of, you know, perfect love and the amount of money you have in your bank account is to the penny exactly how much money you should have. And, you know, they kind of give me this confused look like, well, no, there should be more. I mean, the stock, right. Whether they lost it in the stock market, but well, we are talking yes. about a radically perfect, great perfection. And, you know, it's so, sometimes I say that it's so obvious that that's why we miss it. And so really, you know, again, on the line of willingness, all you need is a willingness to be willing. If you're not willing, just be willing to be willing.
Right. Well, there's that social consciousness, right, that mm-hmm. is all around survival and around about consumption economy, right? Mm. So, you know, of course, we need more money, more this, more objects.
And the fear of not enough, too.
Again, right? It's all lack as opposed to, you know, that whole the abundance, which is in the moment, there's everything's available to you. Mm. Nothing outside of yourself, and you don't need anything.
Yeah, Lao Tzu, when you realize there's nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you.
That's right. Yeah. I was thinking about just our emphasis, for example, on diamonds and how expensive they are and how people literally die from them. And,
sure.
And I was reading about how they found this quasar at some distant galaxy. Mm-hmm. And they found a planet around it. Did you read about this? It's actually, this planet is made of a diamond. It's just an enormous diamond.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just thought, how hilarious. There's a planet that size that's full diamond, and we have these little rocks, and we kill each other over it. It's a tiny little, like the cosmos would just look at that little thing and go, that's kind of cute. Right.
Well, they say, as the microcosm, so is the macrocosm. You know, so the fact that we have diamonds here, of course there's big, you know, there's these large diamonds. It's the same as, you know, the fact that there's a, that, you know, because there's a shift happening on our planet, that probably means there's a shift happening in our galaxy, too.
That's right. And the shift is going to manifest itself as people really beginning to appreciate each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just look into anyone's eyes, and they're the most precious jewel.
Paul, I sure appreciate you. you are a green emerald of Indra's net.
Yes.
In reflecting all things.
That's it. It's all reflection.
For all times.
Well, the key is, and you have it through your practice, Rick, it's all about gratitude. That's the doorway in.
Yeah.
Another teacher, a great teacher, used to say, if you can accept and fully appreciate everything that's arising from moment to moment, then you're enlightened.
Mm.
Right? That's another way to, really, that's it. So you realize, okay, I'm going to go to gratitude. It might be even hard at first.
Yes.
It's actually the truth.
Yes.
You really just, because part of what an awakening really is a confessional.
It's a tough confession.
Right?
It's a difficult
Until
confession.
Until you make it. Then it's so obvious.
Right,
it's so obvious that there's nothing but appreciate. There's nothing to be but appreciative.
But let's be honest about what this confession really means, though. I mean, when you're the part of the enlightenment confession or the awakening confession is that, well, you're God. So guess what? I mean, they could take you into a mental hospital in a straitjacket for saying that. It happens every day.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
But of course, there's a difference between saying you're God from an awakened perspective, and where that's integrated to where you realize, well, yes, I'm God, but so are you, and yes, God, there's an omnipresence to God. You know, He's the one spirit, the one soul, the universe that you share your identity with, versus, you know, just me. I'm Jesus Christ. Only me.
Yes.
You know, do what I say, and give me all the cash that's in your register.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there are three, the Greeks used to talk about the true, the good, and the beautiful.
Mm.
And in the East, they talk about the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, mm-hmm. right? Which is essentially me, just the I, us.
Yep. We.
Right. Yep. The Sangha.
Sure.
Or the good. You know, that's what the lawyers are talking about, morals and all of our agreements with them.
Oh, yeah.
And the Dharma is the truth. And how that's defined is the way things are. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when P. Diddy broke up with J-Lo dumped him, they asked him about it, and he said, it is what it is. And that became, right, that became this, everybody started to say that.
Sure.
But there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah. That's the truth.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if there's a, like, that's the truth.
That is the way, you know, that's the Dharma, right? Yes. He's talking about the Dharma. Now, when you use the word God, I'd really appreciate it because that word's charged for a lot of different people. It means a lot of different things.
Sure.
So it takes some courage to get out there and just, But, you know, another, you know, one of my dearest teachers used to say, it's God who speaks and it's God who listens.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's a, I mean, you can go pretty deep with that one.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm listening. That's
it.
Well, that is non-dual realization right there.
I am listening, right?
Right.
And speaking. Yeah.
Okay. Nothing left to say there, right?
Back to silence. Here's another quote from the course.
Okay.
If you knew who walked beside you on this path that you have chosen, you could never experience fear again.
That's right.
How's that for a shift?
Well, there's so much in that. I mean, first of all,
Unpack that for us. How about the word choice? Uh-huh.
See, this is one our ego wants to avoid, right?
Yeah. Responsibility comes with
that. In an absolute sense, there is no choice and there's no free will.
Choiceless awareness.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's all, you're being lived. In other words, you're actually being imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And a full, you know, so that's an amazing way to live, to offer your gift to the world, right?
Yes.
It's just allowing it come through again. But when you say you've chosen this path, then, and you're coming from the place of a separate identity and things are happening that are bad, you feel like they're happening to you.
Mm, sure.
Right? And it's a thing that's outside of yourself. And so you want to kind of cordon off what, you know, so what is the full responsibility when you say to that somebody, get responsible? For me, it goes back to what one of your guests was talking about loving themselves.
Yeah.
We're talking about being fully responsible. It's loving yourself deeply.
Eric Lawyer, he was the creator of One the Event. He was on the show a couple weeks ago. And for those of you who don't know, I mean, there were thousands and thousands of people, tens of thousands of people involved in that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And his entire shift started this year, what led him to eventually create that. And it was with the question, do you love yourself or are you loving yourself?
Yeah.
Which his answer, of course, was no at that time.
Yeah.
But wow, look at what loving himself has helped to bring into the world.
Yeah, that's another one where people feel like, I can't do that one, right?
Right.
You can do it, but I've had people say that. People I'm close to, hey, I can't do that. And that's when you want to just say, time to get responsible, because that's your job.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's backwards. Because if you're giving away love from a place of self-contraction or ignorance or, you know, lack, then that's what you're giving away. Right. When you fully love yourself, see, I was taught,
mm-hmm.
You know, that was narcissistic. That was a way, you know, you're egotistical, but you love yourself. So they wanted to, but that's not it, you know, because Narcissus fell in love with his own reflection.
Yeah.
And then what happened was he became unavailable, essentially.
Right.
And Echo, you know, fell in love and she was calling to herself because he wasn't there.
Yes.
So that's the narcissist, the bad part of narcissism.
Sure.
Is essentially being so caught up in the self that you've lost your connection to the other.
Yeah.
So the real is, it's like, you're just not present anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Get present with me. Be here with me.
Mm-hmm.
Show up.
Mm-hmm.
See, because awakening, you know, there's a big emphasis on waking up, right?
Yeah.
But now people are saying, okay, well, a lot of people have woken up or are waking up.
Sure.
And the Buddha, he had something to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, wonder of wonders, I and all sentient beings are awake.
Yes.
So, yeah, thousands of years ago, it was pretty clear to everybody, everyone's already awake.
Yes, right? Ultimately
and fully awake.
That awareness, that Christ consciousness or that awakened awareness exists within all of us.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the idea is, okay, now that we're awake, now what? Well, how about, now it's time not just to wake up, but to grow up.
Yeah, and show up, right?
That's
our
it.
Good friend, I'm going to plug Junpo Kelly Roshi, the creator of Mondo Zen.
What a great teacher, yeah.
Because he's really, that's his message right now, right, is grow up and show up. It's one thing to, you know, it's one thing to sit on a cushion and get high, can you actually live that in the world? Right?
They say it's easy to get awakened in a cave.
Right.
And then the Buddhists talk about coming back into the marketplace.
Right.
You know, because you be with others. From a place of compassion, where you don't take things personally, that's just really the key. Since there is no separate person, it should be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no one there to take it, right?
Well, so, and you could also say you take everything personally.
At the deepest level.
Right,
it's
because it's all a projection. It's all a projection of your own mind.
That's right.
So, the entire universe is your projection
yes.
from that truth. But
right. See, again, this is where language fails. It's actually you're actually saying the same thing. It's either inside out or outside in.
Right. The Buddha, they say nothing whatsoever should be clung to as me or mine. That's the way to awakening. Well, everything should be clung to as me and mine, and that'll get you to the same place.
Same thing. Because there's only one experience. There's only one awareness. It's only one of us having this conversation. Right? And it's also it's manifesting in all these separate expressions of divinity looking through different lenses.
Radical.
Fantastic.
This is radical.
How about it? Can I have a hallelujah?
Amen, brother. All right.
The freedom.
We're going to go to commercial again. Stick with us. It's just going to get better. Uh-oh. We got 15 minutes. Welcome back, everybody. This is Adam Seward, and you are listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. We are talking about the shift from fear to love, the shift from imprisonment to freedom. And we're looking at the principles of A Course in Miracles, but we're talking about a whole lot more than that, too. So, and of course, again, I'm joined here with Paul DeFuria, Awaken Master, not self-proclaimed, only proclaimed by me, pure reflection, divine incarnation, aware of his divinity, and of course, my beloved father, Rick Seward. So, what now, guys?
Wow, I feel like a nap.
Man.
That was,
yeah,
we ran some energy here.
Yeah.
It's fun.
How's this been for you?
Well, you guys are great. That's all I got to say. I've just enjoyed this discussion tremendously. Good stuff.
You know, for those of you who live here in the area who want to connect with others in a spirit of meditation and inquiry, this Thursday at Unity of Bellevue, I'm holding a circle. There's about 15 people who have already RSVP'd yes that they're coming. I want to invite you personally. Wherever you are in your journey, you're welcome. It starts at 7. And, I can't think of anything that is quite as powerful. Well, there are things, but I mean, there's such great power in going within, spending time in meditation, especially in the company of others. So if you're looking for something to do, it's free. So if you're looking for something to do on Thursday, please join us as we just gather in a spirit of sacredness, really, and carrying forward the same energy that we're talking about today. So earlier in the show, we did a little exercise. We each put our hands on our hearts, and we said, all right, let's tune into that energy, feel that energy. I just want to check in with you, the listener, or Paul or Rick, just to check in with that again, because it's good to remind yourself that, you know, we can get caught up in our head sometimes when these big ideas flow through, but, you know, it's the energy of the heart that really gives them their substance and their value, that where you hear it and you kind of go, man, that sounds true. So moving forward here.
I mean, you talk about that field.
We needed that.
Yeah. That's right. Well, you talk about that field around you about 10 feet.
Yes.
You can also take it all the way down to the center of the earth and out to the center of the cosmos, right? in breath, yeah,
you don't say.
Right. That's a real master, right? Hey, we're surrounded. Mm-hmm. By people who are just, Bobby used to say, the sages are amongst you, right? And it's like the enlightened ones are literally in your midst all the time. I have a client who came to see me, and he's losing his house of 18 years, and his whole family lives there, and I couldn't help him. It's too late.
Mm-hmm.
And they're selling his house in a trustee sale. And, you know, he said to me, I'm grateful. I'm breathing. I'm alive. You know, and I'm like, okay, who's the master?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I'm so inspired by that person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So there's always that opportunity to stop when you get into fear and just take a deep breath, breathe it all the way that's down, and then breathe it all the way out on the exhalation, and then you get the energy moving.
Yes.
Because fear is just an energy. It's pure energy. And so just move it through you and then watch it. Watch what happens. It evolves. The situation you're in evolves. Yeah. How your story evolves. Everything moves to clarity and openness.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the key is, you know, you start to feel. I felt this actually coming on before I was driving over. I was like, I've never been on the radio. In fact, I used to have almost a phobia about public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this is my first public speaking engagement. Right?
Yeah.
I couldn't lead three people in silent prayer. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, I would make a fool of myself. And it was a mystery to me because I talk all the time. I never had a problem not talking. Put me in front of a bunch of people and all of a sudden, right?
Sure.
And I'm sure someone told me, breathe.
Yeah.
And I didn't listen. It's amazing. Just take a breath. It's aware. The breath allows the space of awareness. Just what you're doing is coming into the moment.
Yes.
What's the big rush? Everybody's heard what we're saying before in some form or another.
Sure.
There's nothing new. It's just a reminder.
Amen.
We're just reminding each other who we are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so when someone's guard comes up, are you going to relate to their separate self or their false self? Or are you going to take a peek around, connect with who they really are through that? That's the only game. It's a game. It's just like a game of hide and seek, right?
Mm.
Right? Just spirit did that with the whole cosmos. It just expanded out and said, you know, and forgot who it is.
Sure.
And then the game is a game of hide and seek. It's fun to play hide and seek. Kids have a blast.
Yeah.
We forget that we're doing that over relationships and money and, you know, I'm rich, I'm broke. He loves me. He loves me not. No, they always love you.
Yes.
It's just, you know, if they're angry, it's love in the form of anger.
Right.
If they're leaving you, it's love in the form of someone leaving.
They it's like, you know, everyone loves you, just not everybody knows that they love you.
It's at one level. And at a deeper level, it's all ground in love. That's who we are. When I'm talking about who are you, who's the one taking responsibility? Well, it's love itself. And that's, you know, choiceless. It's, you know, it's infinite in its expanse.
Yes.
If you identify with this incredible, vast, open emptiness of your own awareness, where are your problems? Where's the conflict?
There's no problems.
Nothing to do but enjoy, you know, bide in the bliss, right?
Yeah.
And then share that with her because it's abundant, so abundant, you got to share it.
Yeah,
that's the first thing you do when you feel the, you know, love really touch your heart. What's the first thing you want to do? You don't want to just, right?
Sure.
You want to share it.
Absolutely.
But the moment that you try to control it, because there's that one too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go, oh, I got it. This is great. This is it. I'll take it. You try to control it. Guess what you just did? You created a prison because you can't control love at all, because love is all that is, that's flowing through this moment infinitely. So there's no, you can't try to control it.
They say, like, the best way to hold it is like water in your hands.
Oh, that's it.
Right? No. Because if you, you know, if you hold it just so, then you won't, it'll, you know, you can create a sealed, you know, platform for it. But as soon as you try to grasp all of the water, then it'll, you know, it'll move through your fingers.
The moment you try to control or protect it, right, you create your own imprisonment, right? Until the moment you go, oh, I'll let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to flow again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as close as your next breath. There's nothing to it. I mean, it's, you know, that's the game.
Right.
It's like, let's drop in and enjoy it in each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, you know, the Course, it says, when it, you know, the Course is sort of final answer on fear, the Course in Miracles. It says, there's nothing to fear. And that's probably about as direct and simple. You know, you're saying there's nothing to it. Well, how's that? There's nothing to fear.
Yes.
And you know, and I hear people say, but what if this, that, you know, and you know, certainly it does, you know, that's an aspect of our experience, that we believe there's something to fear, and in a sense that actually inspires this amazing quality of courage.
Yes.
Where would there be courage if there wasn't fear? So I, you know, I reach out to the listener who is experiencing fear, and I say, you know, lean into that, because that's this opportunity to step into what's next for you. There's a treasure in that. There's gold underneath that fear.
Yeah, the Buddhists talk about the liberation. That's actually your liberation, is your fear.
Yes.
You know, well, the president said, "There's nothing to fear but fear itself."
do what scares you. Pema Chodron. Lean into your fear.
FDR.
Famous
Kennedy.
Democrat.
Yes. Kennedy.
No. FDR. Ask not what you can do.
My American history isn't so good. But they're all saying he's a mystic. Who knew?
Well, it's like all you said earlier, same. We're all saying it. You it's know, all we're all saying it.
So yeah. Fear is just is your liberation. Your angst, you know, your the poison is your medicine. Yeah. Just let it flow. Yeah. Feel it.
This is the non-dual philosophy we're talking about here. And this is, you know, for some it might seem radical. But you know, lately it's just seemed more... less radical,
that's
more ordinary.
Right.
You know, it's like this is, you know, the Course in Miracles again says that you're entitled to miracles. That's the natural order of things, right? When they're not happening, that's when you know there's something off. So,
so true.
So I want to remind you guys of the gathering that we have coming up here at Unity Church on Thursday. It's at 7 o'clock. We actually had a caller want to know the day and time. It's at 7 o'clock. Thursday, and again, all are welcome. We'd love to connect with you. I'll be there, and I'll be leading some meditation. And also, I want to connect with you somehow. Okay, we got a new website in the works, but you can go to my website, www.adamsewardcounseling.net, and just send me an email or you know, just connect. Because if you want to know about upcoming events, if you want to know about counseling services, or even if you want to know about the mediation Paul does, it's actually the Paul, will you give the listeners your website so that they can connect with you if they want to?
Yeah, it's foreclosurefairness.net.
Okay, and so
yeah, our contact information is there. Just give a call.
Yeah.
If you're in a trustee sale, you're going to lose your house, there's, you know, call us quickly. We can help you.
Yes. And also, I want to say, too, that, you know, Awaken Life is brought to you by the Silence Foundation. And that's a foundation that I created to uplift human consciousness through local gatherings and also through the creation and distribution of media like radio. My dad and I have invested a lot of time and a lot of money in this foundation to bring you Awaken Life, but we want to partner with you. So if this is something you believe in and this is something that you want to support, it can grow. We have a lot of ideas, the tip of the iceberg, but it really, you know, with your help, that's kind of the vision that I've seen. So
yeah, we're just really getting started. I mean, there's so much ahead of us.
So much. We're all in, is what we like to say.
We are all in, yes. That's what we are.
we're all in, and that means we're all in with you.
Yes.
So, Paul, I can't thank you enough for being here today. You've been such a special guest and such a bright, brilliant soul, and I feel blessed to know you.
Big love.
Thank
both
you,
of
Paul.
You. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right, everybody. You are listening to Awaken Life. Catch us next week. We'll be here 3 o'clock. It'll still be eternity. But next Monday, 3 o'clock.